Let us pray. Almighty God, before the first of us showed up here this morning, the presence of your Holy Spirit filled this place. We know it's true because your word says it's true, that when we gather, your Holy Spirit is here with us. Lord, may we know that. Beyond what we read, beyond what we think in our minds, may we know that in the very essence of who we are, may we know that your Holy Spirit resides with us here. And beyond the cares and concerns that we came in here with, small things, big things, scary things, hurtful things, that would just distract us from almost anything, but by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that those things be lifted, put down, set aside, whatever it would take, Lord, that we would focus on you. And while that may be beyond our power to do, it is not beyond you to do for us, if we'll just turn those things over to you. And Lord, I ask in this moment that each of us do that very thing. That we just turn everything else in our lives over to you. So that we may hear your word this morning. And know what we are to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Each and every week we've been talking about different things, kind of foundational truths about our beliefs, about Christianity. We've talked about prayer and we've talked about faith. And today I want to talk about Jesus. Amen? Not all about Jesus, because there's a lot about Jesus, but we're going to talk some about Jesus, some of the important things about Jesus and how that translate into what we do and say, what we can know and what we can believe about Jesus. It's an important thing. You know that Peter asked Jesus, "Who does the world say that I am?" And he had this whole list of things. And then he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's an important thing. You see, it's not that Jesus wasn't worried what the rest of the world thought. But Jesus had a charge, and Peter was one of his charges. Peter was going to have the responsibility to what the rest of the world was going to learn about who Jesus was. But unless Peter had it straight, he was never going to be able to transfer that thought, transfer those ideas, get anyone to believe him if he didn't know and understand himself. Reading from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Amen. Who was Jesus? Who was Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who do we say that Jesus is? Can we tell other people who Jesus is beyond some sort of soft notion that we have maintained from our days in Bible school or Sunday school? Who is Jesus? Who was the man Jesus that came? Well, John, as I mentioned last week, the Gospel of John is a little different than the other three, and the way that Gospel begins clearly states that Jesus always was. Before he came here as a child, before Jesus came on that to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds and in that place, before that happened, Jesus was. And all things were made through him. John clearly tells us that. It is important that we know that Jesus is God. It's important that we know that. It's important that we have that down in our hearts. The divinity of Jesus is a vital thing for believers to understand and to know. Now, it's hard for us to get that he was fully man and fully divine, and we hear that phrase, fully man and fully God. It's hard for us to get because from our side, it's hard to understand. His ways higher than ours. His thoughts higher than ours. His capabilities beyond ours. But as I've said over and over again, do not let your lack of understanding, or I cannot let my lack of understanding, deny truth. Say it over and over again. Many things that we don't understand, we still accept as true in our day-to-day life. Many, many things. I don't understand how this works. I don't. But I put it on, I turned it on, and I'm talking and you're hearing. Right? Many people don't have the first clue of how an internal combustion engine works. But they don't say, well, I just can't drive a car then. Right? Many things we do, even though we don't have a full understanding. So it's okay. But we should try to learn and understand as much as we can, and with that biblical worldview that I've been talking about, come to believe who it is that Jesus is. And there's no doubt who Jesus said he was. When Jesus first stood up in the temple, now we see Jesus as the picture of humility, right? The suffering servant, and all those things are true. But Jesus did not at all defer from the truth of who he was. He stood up in the temple and he read the scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And Jesus, yes, humble though he was, also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father but by me." And this was not ego talking. You see, when it comes to God, ego doesn't even come into play. He is the fullness, the completeness, the completion of all that is good, of all that is right. And Jesus was just speaking truth. Accurate truth. But there's no doubt who Jesus said he was. So there's no doubt who Jesus thought he was. So then the question would be, is that who he was? When he said, I and the Father are one, then we have to make a decision. Do we believe that? Some do, some don't. Some did back then, and some did not. Most did not. But to anyone who would say, well, I think that Jesus was, he was a good man, he was a great teacher, he's a good model to follow the way he lived, but that he was not the Son of God, that is not a valid statement, and it's not a valid argument. And C.S. Lewis used what he called the lunatic, liar, or Lord argument. Jesus went around saying that he was the Son of God. So he was either the Son of God, or he thought he was. And if he thought he was and he wasn't, then he was crazy. Not someone whose lifestyle we should model ourselves after. Or if he didn't think he was, then he was a liar. Also not a model that we should use for our own lives. So Jesus was either a liar, or he was a lunatic, or he was indeed Lord. And those that followed Jesus, those that followed him most closely, who did they think he was? There's great evidence who they thought he was. We can know who they thought that Jesus was, who they believed him to be. You see, we can talk with intelligence. We can use our intelligence and our intellect to talk about Jesus. I heard a family member once talking to a younger family member who doesn't believe, and she said to him, well, you just got to have faith. That's all. You just got to have faith. Well, that's not helpful to someone that doesn't have any, to someone that doesn't believe. We have to be able to. We have to take responsibility to learn enough to be able to talk about Jesus. I was reading online an article of someone who does not believe who Jesus was. And they talked about it's all hearsay evidence, that this is all hearsay evidence. And in a court of law, hearsay evidence would not stand up. And they made a good argument, but it was wrong. It was false. The term hearsay evidence means no one saw it happen, but I heard it happen. You know? I didn't see Levin steal the car, but I heard Levin stole the car, and so I go to court and say, well, I heard someone say that he stole the car. That would not stand up in court. But I would never in court be able to show him stealing the car because it's something that took place before. But if I saw it with my eyes and considered a credible witness, then it would be a believable testimony. Of all the works, the written works from ancient times, the scriptures about Christ pass those litmus tests over whether or not a text can be accepted more than any ancient text. These were written by witnesses. People who don't believe in the divinity of Jesus still will say that the texts themselves were written. We don't believe all the stories, but we believe that they're accurately written documents. And so the great piece of evidence that the disciples believed who Jesus was comes in the second chapter of Acts. See, some people say, well, Jesus swooned. He didn't really die. So he was just, you know, he just woke up in the tomb after having been beaten, battered, stabbed, hung on the cross, and then laid for close to 72 hours in a tomb. That he somehow just got up. They were worried about this, right? The officials were worried about this, so they said, make sure you seal the tomb and put a guard next to it, a selected guard. And somehow Jesus, in that state, got up, pushed the rock out of the way, and left. Or some say that the disciples took the body and hid the body. And that's a reasonable thing to think about. If they really wanted people to believe that Jesus had resurrected, then maybe they would do that. You see, everybody had heard Jesus say, Jesus talked about his death often, but whenever he talked about his death, he also talked about his resurrection. He also talked about the resurrection. So people knew that that story was out there. And so maybe it would be that they might take the body and hide it somewhere. But then you get to the second chapter of Acts, and you get Peter standing up, talking to the crowd. Jesus of Nazareth, who you crucified. Peter and the others went to their own deaths, some of them brutal deaths themselves, for the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody dies for a lie. Nobody dies for a lie that they know is a lie. Nobody stands up. Remember Peter, right, before? Hiding in the corner. I don't know who he is, right? I don't know the man. But when he saw the resurrected Christ, he received that which he needed. Peter was always brash, right? Jump out of the boat, walk on the water, you know, chase after, pull the sword. But he never had what it took to really carry it through. But now he stood in the middle of this crowd, of the people who had been responsible for the crucifixion. He accused them of what they had done, and he preached the living Christ. He preached the living, resurrected Christ. Friends, that is great evidence for the truth of the gospel. I'll say it again. People don't die for a lie. They were leaving them alone, evidently. He could have gone back to the fishing boat and spent the rest of his life in anonymity, fishing, being with his family. That's not how Peter spent the rest of his days. And that is, again, great evidence for the truth of the resurrected Christ. This is a good thing to know. It's good to know that Jesus Christ came, lived, died, was resurrected. And I want to pause on that word just a minute, because resurrected is different than resuscitated. Okay? Frequently, people lose a heartbeat, lose a breath for a moment, and they are resuscitated. And they come back to who they were. Right? That's resuscitation. Resurrection is a different thing. When they walked in the tomb, remember they walked in and they saw the grave clothes laying there like an empty cocoon. Because Jesus had been resurrected. He came back a new creature. Right? He came back a new... Matter of fact, I don't think Jesus walked. This is just me thinking. This isn't necessarily scriptural. I don't think he walked through an open tomb. Remember later on he walks and appears in a room without opening the door? I think the stone was rolled away so that they could see in. The stone didn't need to be rolled away for Jesus to get out. Those grave clothes laying there, the way they were, not shuffled around, not tossed in the corner, but left laying as they were, as if he had just been transported out. So Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected, and lives still. And we can talk about him to other people. We don't have to leave, you know, our minds, our brains, our intellect at the door to believe in Jesus. This is what the world would try to convince you of. That, yeah, it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing to think about. But those Christians are a little daft. This is what the world would try to convince us. That you can't really be very intelligent and believe in Jesus. And friends, I'm telling you, the God who created your body, the God who created your soul, the God, same God created your mind. We are responsible to read the Word of God and to learn as much as we can and understand as much as we can so we can share as much as we can with as many as we can. And we don't have to tell people, well, you just got to have faith. We can say with assurance that there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth, and he was the Son of God. We can tell that story, and we can say he was resurrected to live again, and he lives still. And I know him. I know him. He has changed my life. I am different now than I was before because I met Jesus Christ. That may sound a little strange. It may sound a little odd, but it is the truth. It is the truth. And that's why I said earlier, part of evangelism is sometimes saying what you're led to say and sometimes not saying what you're not led to say. We don't have to go any further than the Spirit leads us. We have to constantly be seeking the movement of the Spirit and move along with it. And we should say what we need to say, but we have to gain confidence ourselves to be able to say that. There are books, some of them very good, some of them very bad, and all the range in between on how to share your faith. But you have to have the confidence in your own self of who Jesus is. Who do you say that he is? You have to know who he is here. My dad, back, I guess, in the early 1940s, he was raised on a farm. There were sharecroppers and looking for something else to do to make some money. And he tried some door-to-door sales with shoes. Sounds funny now. People used to sell things door-to-door to come to your house. And I guess the second or third person said, well, do you wear those shoes? And he quit on the spot. Because he didn't. Right? If you don't believe in it, you can't sell it. I'm not suggesting we sell Jesus. I'm not suggesting that. But if you don't believe it, it's a very difficult thing to talk about. But I'm telling you that you can know. You can know who Jesus is. If you don't have that confidence, I'm going to ask you to pray something like this. I'm going to ask you to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm seeking. I don't know if you're there, but I'm seeking. I'm asking you to answer me. I don't know if there's someone there hearing, but I'm asking, if you can hear, to let me know. I want what you have to offer to me. I don't know if you have anything to give, but if you do, I want it. I'm just willing to hear and to try. God will respond. God doesn't want to withhold. God wants to give. And if that does sound a little crazy, it's not. It's not. Again, we do stuff like this all the time. If somebody says Chick-fil-A is giving away free sandwiches on Thursday morning, we go. It may sound crazy, but we go. We may not be sure of it, but we go. And sometimes they do. But when you hear about something, you don't necessarily have to believe it all the way before you try it. Faith, remember we talked about faith, right? A little bit of faith, but planted, turned over to God, given the freedom to let God work with it, that faith can grow. That little seed grows into the biggest thing in the garden. Our faith is the same way. If we just give it a try and turn it over to God, God will do marvelous, wondrous things with it and with us. But I'm here to tell you, you can know who Jesus is. And when you know who Jesus is, you'll want other people to know who Jesus is. Almighty God, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and we love you. And we identify with that guy that called out to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. We identify with him because as much as we believe, we know there's more out there. And so, Lord, right now, I just ask, wherever we are in our belief, that it would grow. That if there's anyone here that has never taken the step at all, that today would be the day. But for each of us, many of us have been coming and worshiping for decades, Lord, and yet And yet, we still lack that confidence. But that can change. And so, Lord, I just ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit into the lives of each person here. If we would just open up, even if we have a little doubt, if we would just open up and see that there might be a possibility that there's an Almighty God that wants to give us the blessings of heaven, wants to give us life eternal, wants to give us what we need to share with others the good news. May it be so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.